السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International. It is the program known as Screaming Reels. It's just running a few minutes late this morning. We're waiting for our co-host Brother Adil Mangli on the line, and this morning he's on his way through to Willow Express. So we'll be getting hold of him shortly, inshallah. And we will be speaking to him from the river. Always interesting and always somewhat different having somebody out on the water and then speaking and then discussing with them. Of course, just makes it much more interesting. Also, a bit later in the program, inshallah, we'll be speaking to Brother Yunus Mita with regard to the wetlands here in Lanesia, Upper Fats. And that is with regard to trying to sort something out this year. Of course, you know, this is a discussion that especially for the people of lands, many people might be hearing something like this going on for some time now. Some people, of course, getting to that point where they're saying it seems like nothing will ever happen. That frustration kinds of sets in. So we'll be speaking a bit later, inshallah, to Brother Yunus. For now, we're going to ask our engineer, Brother Hanzara, if we have Luqman with us on the line already. He's indicating, giving us a thumbs up. Luqman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hi, Malana.
Alhamdulillah, you keep in Luqman.
Allah shukr, assalamu alaikum to all our listeners as well.
Luqman, I know Adil last night when I was speaking to him on the phone, he's saying that he had to have thanked Luqman and Solly's English Corner, but unfortunately I know he's still driving, so we're going to get hold of him a bit later on in the program, inshallah. They're out to Willow Express this morning with the kids, and hopefully they'll have a good weekend, inshallah.
See, inshallah, it seems like the fishing should be okay. You know, the reports that are coming in are good. You know, people are catching. So, inshallah, they'll have a good weekend and good fishing, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. Look, man, again this week, you know, it's always something like this here where you'll always get this call or people will always ask you on WhatsApp, SMS. I know that the last 2 weeks we just had constant good hot weather. And then this week or the last week and a half, you could say again, your early mornings, late evenings, somewhat became chilly again, although in the daytime, I mean like this morning, excellent weather again. But most of your days in this week, early morning, late evenings, again a bit chilly. What does that do to your fishing, look?
If the temperature drops are not too big, you know, if it's not a serious temperature drop from your average daytime temperature, then it shouldn't do too much. It will put the fish slightly off or slightly deeper, but during the day, they're going to come onto the bite sometime during the day, and you should catch well. But it does slow down the fishing a little bit, but not too much.
Mm. Then, in the week, Luqman, I don't know if you've seen last week, Saturday or was it Sunday, some interesting pictures coming out about Kerpa from Loskop Dam.
Kerpa, what happens is before they go into the spawn, which is around about October, November, you'll find there is a window period that you do catch well. And that is what's happening exactly now, is this is that window period just before they go into the spawn. They're going to feed her, but then if you're lucky enough and you get a chance to be on the water, you can catch some decent kerpa as well.
Now you're going to catch them now, just that one or two, Luqman, like you're saying, just before spawn, you're going to catch decent amounts of them?
No, you're not going to catch one or two. You'll catch a bit more than that, but not as much as you do when the kerpa season peaks, you know, in February, March. But you should have some good fun, inshallah. Those guys that are going out to all your kerpa destinations, you should catch a few.
Mm. Any news on, I know last season, Porakalalo and those dams were fishing quite well, although it was just your pen sizes or your average size fish that were coming out. But reports those areas there, Luqman, so far this year?
Nothing yet, but you know, the disturbing thing about Porakalalo, I think I did mention it before, is the polluted water. We've had few guys that went for carp and just couldn't handle the stench. You know, it's a terrible stench coming out of the dam with polluted water. So I don't know. I don't think people are too keen to go because of that. And, you know, hopefully we get some early rains that can flush it out. Then it may be a different story.
Mm. Is this the same case that the Arapiosa Dam had previously and Loskop used to have as well, with the stench and the waste that were being dumped into the waters?
Gee, it is, you know, with all those settlements around or close by to the dam and onto the river systems coming into the dam, basically it's raw sewage just flowing into the dams and causing this this problem that they're having.
You know, this is something a bit later on in the program, inshallah, we're going to be speaking to a brother with regard to open facts and trying to sort something out there. Is there any way, as normal fishermen going to your dams, like for example Borakaralo, those that go in the areas, wherever they are frequenting a specific dam a lot, what can fishermen do from their side? Of course, you're not going to prevent this sort of a thing totally when we're speaking about the waste and the stench. But what can fishermen do from their side to perhaps somewhat get this thing under control? Or perhaps is there an avenue or a channel that these things can be reported to or something can be done about it?
The first plan of action would be to contact the government offices in charge, you know, whether it's rainwater, water affairs or nature conservation, whichever department is looking after that dam or that area. So your first plan of action will be to write letters, you know, as many letters that can be written in objection to the various problems would help, you know, whether they see it, whether they take it seriously, you know, but at least they'll be aware of the amount of people. So, you know, these days it's easy, you know, just Google email addresses for various departments and it will come up and just lodge complaints, constantly just bombard them with the complaints. And it's not, you know, it's legitimate complaints. It's not that you're just trying to be funny or prank stuff or whatever. It is serious. So that would be the first plan action. And more serious than that is, you know, last week I went, you know, I did say I'm going to Mariko just for a quick fishing session. And the disturbing thing is you still find lots of lying around, papers people are leaving. So wherever they go, you know, cigarette boxes, these energy drink tins, and it's not anybody else but our people. The area that I fish is more of our Muslim people that fish there. It's not nobody else, you know, whoever I met there. And the thing is, people are leaving line, people are leaving cigarette boxes, people are leaving, and that's, you know, it's sad to see, you know, people are just tossing their rubbish all over the sea. And we've repeatedly spoken about it. Keep the place clean for your own sake. You want to come there, you come to a clean, nice place fishing. So that was the thing, you know, it was said, and I repeat, you know, wherever you go, it's not just on fishing trips, take extra dustbin bags, take packets with, and just make the place clean. Keep, you know, make it clean for everybody, not just for yourself. You know, we need to get that selfishness out of our systems where we've become very selfish. We only worry ourselves how we can benefit from anything. We're not worried about the next person that can come, you know, whether it is wasting resources, we're not leaving for the next person, you know, we're just taking, we're not even cared whether the next group or next people are going to come, are going to have a good trip. You know, we should be willing to share with others, not just keep everything for ourselves.
100%. How was the fishing, Lukman, by the way?
Alhamdulillah, on that Saturday that we entered a quick session for about 2 hours, got 4 nice fish.
Okay.
And then there were, alhamdulillah, there was a very nice, I must say, you know, one of the things you do when you fish is you always meet people, and people generally are very friendly, very hospitable.
Sure.
Uncle Faisal, I met for the first time, I met him from Lanesia. He was there fishing with his 2 sons. And, you know, it was nice talking to them. And the nice thing is they were screaming real listeners. So when they said, "I look man from screaming real," you know, it was a nice thing. They were quite happy to meet us. We were happy to meet them. And then fishing together, you know, they caught a few. We caught. It was very nice, you know, it was nice. And even on a Sunday when we went through, Uncle Faisal made a prize for everybody and invited all to join his prize. So special thanks to him, you know, it was really appreciative and a very nice thing for him to do. And that's what I'm saying, you know, if people just get together, they don't have to be arguing, they don't have to be fighting. You can just have a good day, you know, just by doing things together, enjoying one another's company, talking about fishing, sharing fishing tips, you know, helping one another, showing guys what to catch on, how to fish, and it's a nice thing. Alhamdulillah, it was a very nice day to be on the water.
All this got from shore, Lukman?
Just from banking, when you start banking.
And size, Luqman, roughly?
The two that I got were 1.5, 1.6, they're around, two around, probably 800 gram. Seems like that were the sizes between that 800 gram. One of the brothers from Zeres got a 2 kilo after it left. So when I chatted to him on WhatsApp, he said he got a nice 2 kilo fish. So the dam does produce nice fish. And so it's well worth going out to the family and just, even if you don't have a boat, you know, and you just want to go and fish from the side, like I say, have a braai, have a bit of a picnic, it's well worth it.
Yeah, that's what I was actually going to ask you. How's the shoreline for the kids and the families and things like that? Do you have to take your own gazebos with, or you got some nice trees close to the water? It
depends how early you get in. If you get in early on a Saturday or whatever, before it gets a bit busy, there is a resort that's trees fairly close and nice shaded trees where you can get in. So if you're early enough, you can, but if it is full, you can take a nice gazebo or whatever, but a very nice piece of water to fish with the family as well.
Excellent. Anywhere else, Luqman, reports coming out about the fishing, Luqman?
Generally, bass and your carp and yellowfish are all over the show. You know, people are catching. It just depends which spots you're going to, you know, like every piece of water, certain spots fish better than others.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's bass, you know, we spoke about last week that yes, most areas are fishing well. You can go almost to any piece of water and catch. On the Vaal River itself, you're getting mixed reports of different areas. But that's what you need to do. You know, you need to explore and then take your chance and go and hope that you're going to get some fish. Inshallah, the guys should do well in the next, you know, we're in full swing into fishing season, so.
You're speaking about yellows as well. Are the yellows already on the bite this early?
Well, gee, we've spoke to a couple of guys catching on fly, catching on bait. Again, it's just the spots. Some spots are producing better than others, and you've got to just take your pick and go.
Definitely. And I think, although it wasn't much, but that one evening that we had rain, generally, you know, it said that after the first rains, your fishing is even better.
Inshallah, it will come. You know, we just need to continue making dua, you know, for everybody. And for rain, inshallah, it will come. Almost just continue with the duas, and good rain should come. But like you say, you know, generally, a lot of people wait. They actually wait for those first rains before they go fishing. So with a little rain we have, inshallah, it will make a difference.
Ameen, ameen, inshallah. Luqman, jazakumullah once again for your time. We'll catch up with you next week, Saturday morning.
Inshallah.
Nothing planned for this weekend, Luqman?
No, inshallah, the next week what's happening is, I'm sure, you know, many of the listeners heard about the Bass World Championships that are taking place at the Vaal River. It's 13 countries, you know, from all over the world, including the African continent, which is Zimbabwe, Namibia, and Zambia are also participating. So 13 nations get together and compete for bass on the Vaal River. So we're going to be having a pop-up store there, you know, for the foreigners that come through. And, you know, obviously there's going to be quite a few spectators expected in there. So inshallah, we'll be selling some tackle at good prices. And so if anybody is in the area or want to come see what this whole world championship thing, it's happening at the Emerald Resort on the Vaal River. So people are welcome to come through and see.
Excellent, Luqman, excellent. So maybe we'll join you there next week, Saturday. We can do a program from there, Luqman.
Inshallah, we'll see. It depends how it goes. Let's see if we can meet up and talk maybe from there and give a report on who's winning and what the scores are, whatever.
Inshallah. Luqman, jazakumullah once again for your time. Next week, Saturday morning, inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 27 minutes past 8. You are listening to Radio Islam International. Yes, I think important aspect that Luqman raised up again. We'll be discussing that a bit later on in the program as well, with regard to the area or to the spot that you're fishing at, looking after it, keeping it clean, maintaining those areas, not being selfish, or not just fishing for one's own self, but rather thinking of the next person that is going to be coming out there as well. We're going to see with our engineer, Brother Hanzala, if we do have Adil with us on the line. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I think the line perhaps is very bad there. Generally, this is what happens. Saying I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me. You see that one day, Hanzala? Says, I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me. So, I think that line, what are stories generally? Generally that does it. Okay, it's back with us. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Adil?
How is Islam? How are you?
Alhamdulillah, how are you, Ariel?
Alhamdulillah, I could hear you guys, but I don't think you people could hear me.
We never wanted to hear you that time.
Why?
Because you left us and you went away.
Oh, okay.
Ariel, how's it going, Ariel?
Sukar, alhamdulillah. I want to actually tell Luqman Jazakallah so much.
I did briefly tell him on your behalf, but I said next week you'll do a better job of it.
I'll give a full
Jazakallah
report back on whether the stuff worked or not. Yeah,
100%. Are you going out with the kids?
Yeah, at the moment, alhamdulillah, we're here at Willow Express.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a camp with we're working together with a Jamiat from Portsburg.
All right.
The main office. They've got together about, I think about 30 youngsters, aged from 12 up to about 17 years old. And we are busy. Well, problem is I only got here now. I was supposed to be here much earlier, but unfortunately I had some hiccups. I didn't know there was a big problem on the road as well.
Ah, okay. We just going to get hold of Uncle Yunus Mita, of course. We did speak to him previously on the program. With regard to Opa Fats and the wetlands this area here. And yes. Thereafter, Adil, maybe then you can tell us a bit more on your guys' interesting weekend, how long you guys are going to be there for, of course, being a holiday now. So it will be very interesting, I think, for our listeners out there. But on the line with us, we got Uncle Yunus Mita. Uncle Yunus, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum to the listeners. And thank you for tuning in.
Again, JazakAllah for joining us this morning. We got Adil with us on the line as well. Adil and I are out in Willow Express this morning. So they're out there for the weekend with some youngsters from the Jamiat. So they're going to be having a good weekend out there. I think very interesting, Uncle Yunus, to get our youth and the youngsters involved in fishing and being outdoors for the weekends.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, that's always, a much nicer alternative to the sad trend that we're seeing, you know, youngsters getting caught up with their cell phones and computers and so forth. So alhamdulillah, a fishing trip is by far the best and the original way of recreation which we should be encouraging our youngsters with, rather than sitting in front and sitting at home indoors, you know, on those computers and cell phones.
Oh, definitely. Last weekend we were actually giving a small little introduction to what you guys are running at the moment. I mean, we had an interview last year sometime talking about the Lens wetland area, which we all like to call Opa Fat.
Right.
I was actually discussing on radio about that group that you guys started on WhatsApp. And I see now you've brought in some of the guys from the department. Just give us, elaborate a little bit on what's happening currently in terms of that situation.
Okay, to begin with, can I just start with, this particular area, just pointing out, the geographical location firstly, and then what it actually represents to us. You know, a lot of people just know it as a fishing spot or as a dam, but in fact it is so much more than just that. Firstly, the name is referred to on the topographical maps as Lens Flay, which we fondly refer to as Opa Fats. And it's situated on the coast of Indonesia, right, at the Avalon Cemetery entrance. If you come down the road from the Avalon Cemetery entrance to Indonesia, it's on the right-hand side. But it is slap bang in the middle of four or five of the largest townships in the country. Back in the day in the 1960s, when the Group Areas Act was officially promulgated, they moved people to Lanesia. The Indians were moved to Lanesia on the south, Blacks on the north to Soweto, and Coloureds on the east to El Dorado Park and Klipspruit, and on the west it was the Whites. Zirbukom Western area. So that is, it is slap bang in the middle of these four or five major areas, and it provides an enormous benefit to these areas. And also, what I'd like to point out is that whilst, yes, it is in Lanesia, the wetland, and we have, we take an ownership, not ownership, but we take pride in the fact that it belongs to Lanesia, but we need to understand that it benefits all those areas around it. And how does it benefit those areas? It acts as a flood buster, preventing floods in the surrounding areas. When it rains heavily in the areas around Opafet, the water doesn't get saturated just in the ground. Instead, it makes its way through underground rivers and tributaries to the wetlands. So the wetland acts as a sponge, absorbing this excess water from the surrounding areas. Otherwise, if it wasn't there, these excess areas would, with too much of rain, would become saturated, and then the water levels would rise above the ground. So it's an amazing benefit that it provides us in terms of preventing flooding. The second benefit of having the wetland there is that it purifies water.
Okay, I think this Adil, I know the line is quite bad, the band, but you can carry on, inshallah.
Okay, not a problem. The second benefit is that it purifies the water that makes its way through to the wetland. So the best quality and the most pristine, pure water should be found in the main body of the wetland. Because as this water passes through the sand, both on the surface and underground, it gets filtered, and as it passes through the sand, it produces it produces a soil which is called peat or peat moss, right? Where that soil ultimately becomes black. It's trapping all the harmful contaminants within that soil. So that soil actually is the richest, most treasured soil on planet Earth is this peat soil. It takes 75 years for the soil to form, or 2 centimeters. Of a layer, if you just picture a layer going down as deep as you can think, but the 2 centimeter layer of soil is it takes 75 years for that soil to form. But okay, this is amazing. It's remarkable that just the soil and trapping the so it, in that way it purifies the water. And I'll come speak about the water quality in a moment, but just to give you the benefits quickly, so it prevents flood. It purifies the water, and it purifies the air as well. Very much like trees would benefit us in the environment. Now, having that wetland is the equivalent of having a rainforest right on our doorstep. Trees, by their nature and the process of photosynthesis, don't magically produce oxygen. What they actually do is they purify the air. They act as a filter for the air. They absorb the entire air molecule, which contains, at this level, only about 15% oxygen these days. You know, the oxygen levels are dropping at a frightening rate. But in and around Lanesia, the oxygen levels are between 15 and 17%. So, which means that if the oxygen level is only 15 and 17% in the air molecule, the balance must be made up of something else. And that's usually contaminant, pollutants, carbon dioxide, right? What the tree does, it absorbs the entire air molecule with all those pollutants, it retains those pollutants and contaminants, and it releases the oxygen for you and I to use. Again, hence another point for us planting trees in our environment. We need these trees. That is what they do. But the wetlands does this on a larger scale, hence the reason for the reed system in particular. It takes, through the reed system, it takes in the air molecules and buries them literally underground and releases the oxygen for our benefit. So on a large scale, the whole system, and this is also another reason why the soil is black there, because most of the nitrates and contaminants and so forth are buried underground. So the air purifier is a third benefit of having a wetland right there in our midst. And take these three as the most important. Understanding that, firstly, air, water, and soil are the three most important environmental benefits, nematodes that we have on planet Earth. So here you have a system which, on a very sophisticated on a massive scale, purifies all three of those things, gives us the benefit of all three. 90% of your oxygen, 90% of your energy comes from the air that you breathe, right? And if you have something that helps you purify the very air that you breathe, alhamdulillah, we should be grateful for it. We should be protecting it. We should be saving it with our lives, you know, in making sure that nobody destroys it. But this is where we at, Sajjad, at the moment, is, you know, here we've got something, and I hope I've outlined at least some of the benefits. We will speak further. But does it at least make you understand the importance of this particular wetland for us?
I don't think many fishermen that have been going there, let alone those people that don't even know about Opafet's existing, I don't think many of them even know some of the benefits that you actually discuss now or mention now. I think many people actually look at it with such a different mind and such a different eye right now. Again, it's okay. Now we see that, alhamdulillah, there is at least a few concerned people out there that now want to take back. And when I say take back, then I mean, because we've kind of lost Opafet. Would you agree with me in that way, saying that?
Totally. Opafet is, firstly, okay, it's not unique in the world because we have lost 50% of the world's wetland. But Opafet, uniquely in our mud, is under threat. It's in crisis. It is in ICU right now. And we need to rally around the cause. Because now I'll speak about the challenges we face at this particular wetland. Firstly, there's theft of soil, illegal mining of soil. There are three different types of soil at this particular wetland. The normal clay soil that we have around the Asia, then we have river sand, and then we have, which is a yellowish sort of soil, and then we have peat moss, right? The black soil. Now, what's been happening, and this has been going on for a number of years, it has been going on probably for the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years, if not, that, but measured. We've only been measuring this loss happening in over a 5 or a 6 year period. What happens on a daily basis, and probably even as we speak right now, there's a group of youngsters that want to basically, not youngsters, adults as well, they basically want to make a living. So they've seen a gap and an opportunity where they dig up the soil and they load it onto buckets for, the guys that will pull in during the course of the day, up to 10 buckets can be entering the wetland on a daily basis. Oh. And sometimes even not just a 1-ton bucket, but even 2-ton buckets would come through. And they would load this bucky, a 1-ton bucky for these guys at 80 rand a load. Right?
Sure.
80 rand a load is what happens. That's the first thing. Then the guy that loads this bucky, and sadly, it's even business guys, you know, hardware stores in it that are using these oaks with the buckies to come there, load up those buckies, but generally we know it's a few private oaks who saw a gap, where they load that soil, instead of going to buy it at the quarries or buying it at the hardware stores, they come there, they load their buckets and go and sell it to builders, to people who want to cover their lawns or what, you know, whatever the mix. And they sell that load for between 300 and 500 rand, a bucket load. Now, if you think about this, 10 bucket loads, it's between 300 and 500 or even 20 bucket loads a day. We're looking at about 5,000-6,000 rand leaving in terms of revenue alone, at least. But that is not the problem. The problem is that they are destroying the ecology of that very environment that we are wanting to protect. By digging up the soil, what are you doing? You take, it's like taking a filter. You've seen a water filter.
Mm.
Now, if you remove the soil and the charcoal and all of those things from the filter, is that filter going to be effective?
Mm-mm.
No, It cannot be. And if it takes 75 years for 2 centimeters of the soil to form, for that charcoal to form in your filter, right, and you're digging it up by the ton loads every single day, what are you eventually going to do to that filter? And this is the crisis we face in terms of soil depth. It is criminal. We've reported this to the Department of Mineral Affairs 4 or 5 years ago already. We brought them out. They issued a certificate that says that this is tantamount to illegal mining, because in order to prosecute people who are digging this, we have to follow a certain protocol. You know, the unfortunately criminals have more rights than we do. We can't even go there and charge the guy. It just becomes wrongful arrest, like we had a situation just the other night at Opafet, and we have to be careful how we tread. But
Was that about the guys who were actually nothing fishing?
Yes, we're talking about those guys. But now, you know, we were told by the guys from Scorpions as well, all right, but go there, but don't arrest them right now, because they're going to get off on wrongful arrest. You need to firstly give them the necessary, citations and warnings and, you know, before you do certain things, and quote the article, which under which they are being arrested and so forth. If you don't do all of those things, you are under risk of wrongful arrest. But be that as it may, over the period of 5 years, we have reported this many an occasion to, at this stage, our law enforcers is the Metro Police, and they do come in. They're there. We see them. We see them at the wetland. But this activity of digging up the soil has continued unabated for that particular period of time. We have even tried on several occasions to teach these oaks and say, listen, guys, what you're doing, we explained it, you know, made them aware, educated them, and even tried to teach them a skill, you know, using the resources at the wetland, using the reeds to make the fencing and furniture. And I managed to take out about 2 groups of these guys, you know, of 4 people at a time. But I removed the 1 group. What happens? Tomorrow there's another group of guys that come in there. You know, so it was a losing battle. Right? So soil theft is one of the big problems there, illegal mining of salt. But recently we made some headway where we brought in guys from the Environmental Protection Agency, particularly a group called the Green Scorpion. And they came out, and that day we've managed to issue a stern warning to one of the groups that's digging up there. And alhamdulillah, to date, we haven't actually seen them. And I think we've made a significant stop. We've actually managed to stop a couple of 1,000 tons of soil leaving the area already. But it's something we still have to be vigilant about and monitor and police. Right? That's the soil theft. The second problem is illegal dumping of... Because it's an open space, people think it's unused. They come through, and it's mainly building rubble, you know, that gets dumped there. But you get the odd occasion of other types of rubble that's being dumped there as well. And I don't know if you know that at the entrance of the Heathcock Avenue entrance, there's a pick-it-up dump site there.
Yes.
Right. Now, that pick-it-up dump site, whilst it was strategically placed and should, you know, right there, perfect, and it prevented a lot of other illegal dumping happening in the area, but it also contributed, because what happened, they have a certain policy, pick it up, have a certain policy, that no vehicle more than 2 meters, you know, a 2-ton, not more, a vehicle not more than 2-ton, will be allowed to come and dump at the site. If you've got a vehicle that's bigger than 2 tons, you must go to Loyley or the one near past El Dorado Park. There's another dump site there as well. But you'd have to go and take your dump to that particular dump site. But you know what happens is that sometimes the guy's got a 4-ton truck, right?
Sure.
Right. But his load might be less than a ton. Or a ton. and then he gets turned away from there. Now, do you think this guy is going to drive all the way, you know, he knows, hey man, I've got a small load here. Must I now drive all the way to Loli or, forget the name of the area, you know, just as you pass El Dorado Park, on the Golden Highway?
G, correct.
Yeah, that area there, you know, there's a huge dump site there.
And then.
He's not going to go there. He's going to turn into the wetland and dump it at the closest place. But dumping is another of our issues. And right now, the road to Upperfetch has been closed. We're dumping on, you know, there's a very, not closed, there's just a passage for a car just about to pass through, and the condition of the road is quite bad right now.
And we're going to have to, I know, of course, with a discussion like this, we're going to have to take this another week, and we've got like about just 4 minutes left to discuss. Right now, Angelus, perhaps for the listeners out there, for those people that perhaps want to get involved, is there a way forward? Is there something that is happening now? I know we spoke about the WhatsApp group that has formed in this week sometime, of course. But what's the way forward from here? What can the public perhaps do to assist those people like yourself, of course, that is actually going forward in trying to do something for the wetlands of Lanesia?
Thanks for that, Sajad. What we, and I'm really pleased to report that the interest is extremely high. It's the highest it's ever been in 66 years. It's the most support we are actually beginning to see from the public, and all thanks to social media, I'd say. And what's happening, actually tomorrow, we're having a meeting of anybody who's interested. Right? You're more than welcome, and it might even be an opportunity for you to come and visit the wetland for the first time. Nothing formal. We're just having a meet and greet and get together of people who want to, and therein we will plan together, we'll form a steering committee or an action group that's going to, as a first step, what we need to do is to get the public to start enjoying this facility. So, and we're hoping to do this to, you know, the momentum is great right now, and we want to capitalize on that and get the interest and get people. So for starters, we just want people to come through and start appreciating the wetland and understanding the worth of it, and then automatically we will continue working together to save this particular wetland, inshallah. So tomorrow at about 10 o'clock, interested volunteers are invited to just come through, and we're going to just browse around, bringing your own picnic baskets, and just come and enjoy the day there with us. But at the same time, some of this information that I will share with them, make them really appreciate and understand the value of the wetland, and we can quickly formulate a plan of action going forward. And the first thing we would like to do, inshallah, is to have a massive public open day at Upperfetch as soon as the next Sunday, inshallah. So that is where we're at this point in time. And
Is there perhaps anybody from the departments that might come through, or that perhaps yourself and those concerned people already have spoken to, or might be interested in assisting the community in trying to sort things out here?
100%. That is it. So we want to use, okay, our first meeting tomorrow is just to formulate our plan of action, but that is the intention. By the next Sunday when we have the speaking, we want to go, and every major role player department is going to be invited to come along and come and pledge their support for saving this particular wetland. It's a wetland in crisis that needs to be saved, and that is an important part of what we need to do. We need to engage all the role players. Many have been. Some have helped us out in between this, that, and the other. But by and large, most people have taken their hands off this whole process of trying to save the wetland, and now with that, the engine has been started again, and the wheels have been put on, and alhamdulillah, we stand a very good chance of reclaiming this wetland. And any other ideas, development, in terms of making it the Zoo Lake and the Florida Lake and the Reed Clay Zoo Farms that a lot of people are beginning to suggest, is now seemingly there's light at the end of this tunnel, and for the first time it's not the headlights of an oncoming train, it is actually genuine natural light coming through and giving us hope.
This is just one more thing, because I hope I don't seem to be rude here, but many a times, I know we spoke like last year as well. I remember we had an interview with regard to Opa Fats. I think the year before it was. Is it now no more just a case? I know you said this time around, of course, you being quite involved. You're saying this time around, I mean, it's natural light coming, so of course you would know the difference from previously to now. But for many people out there listening now, is it not a case again of, they're speaking about Opa Fats, they say that things are going to get sorted out, and next year we're going to be having this very same discussion, and the year after, and the year after, and it's just going to continue like this?
The one thing that previous attempts that were made, and why they have failed, is that there wasn't any sustained community involvement. It was sort of a pop with a handful of people that we're trying to do something about this. And it's, the task is huge. We cannot do this alone. It's not a cause for a lone ranger.
Sure.
It's one that needed to end. And we realize that, and here we're talking about, let's say, and I put on a post that it's the power of social media right now.
Yes.
The small individual who wanted to get involved but didn't know how to get involved or wasn't invited, or, you know, he is now coming forward, and he or she is coming forward, and they are beginning to say, hey man, guys, come. And they're inspiring us to now, to basically, and feel confident that this time around, inshallah, it's going to be different. It's going to, we are going to be able to pull this off. But when you don't have the support of the community, of the public, forget it. You know, you can try what you want to. We never had the resources, financial resources either, to pull this off. But it's not financial resources, it's people resources. We need the community to be behind us, to assist us, and come out there and say, right, guys, we're going to reclaim this from the criminal element. We're going to come out in our numbers. We're going to at the very least, even if we do what the fishermen guys are doing, you know, they're the only ones that have up to now helped save that wetland as well. Because of their presence, you know, they are making a difference. So, this time around, we are more than hopeful that there's going to be a huge difference this time around.
Inshallah. And it was just very quickly, once again, the location and the time for tomorrow?
Okay. It will be at the entrance of Extension 1, which is the, what is referred to as the, you know, on Nirvana Drive.
Mm.
Nirvana Drive at the, basically your closest entrance is Flamingo, the corner of Flamingo and Nirvana Drive, or the Major Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Is, if you're traveling west, that is, you know, away from the direction of the Trade Route Mall on the Nature Drive. There are basically two turns there that will lead you into that area, Mosquito Valley, Extension 1. Right? The one road is Heathcock. Just turn into Heathcock, and that's where the Picket Up dump site is.
Correct.
And just as you pass Picket Up dump site, just around the bend, that is the Heathcock entrance we're speaking about. We'll meet there, and then, from there make our way into the wetland.
And I don't think anybody should go in alone, because, at those areas, it's a crime factor that is also...
It's a word of caution. We don't want people just going there in small groups or alone. If ever you do visit, at this point in time, and that is the first thing I think we're going to get right within this immediate time, is that we're now going to be able to get groups of people coming to visit, even if it's just on a Sunday or a Saturday. That is the first plan of action we will be putting into place, is that we're organizing at least groups of people to come in there and let us start at least enjoying the facility.
I guess if we are available, inshallah, we'll try to make ourselves available for tomorrow to get you guys there.
Okay.
If not, we will then have a follow-up program, inshallah, to keep our listeners encouraged, and to keep our listeners a part of getting the wetlands back into the hands of the community.
Right. Alhamdulillah. And we need to collectively also get, like, City Parks and all of these guys. It's our way of putting pressure onto the powers that be. Guys, come in there and help us. Let us sort this problem out once and for all.
Jazakumullah once again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa'alaikum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
Well, just over a minute left for the 9 o'clock news. Brother Hanzala got to play out a few ads there very quickly. We wrap up this morning's streaming news program. We'll catch up with our listeners soon, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.